Welcome to the Talking Security Podcast. We will talk about items related to Microsoft security.
Welcome to a new episode of the Talking Security Podcast, the podcast where we dive deep into the latest cyber security. Today's episode is all about SaaS security and how the landscape has evolved over the past few years. Many of us remember the days when cloud access security brokers, or SB solutions, were the go-to solution for SaaS visibility and control. But things have changed. The SaaS ecosystem has grown, attackers have become smarter, and so the way we approach security has evolved. And that's the reason why we have today a discussion on CASB, the broader SaaS security strategy, and Microsoft Defender for Cloud Apps. And with that, we have Itai Cohen as a guest in our podcast. He's from the Defender for Cloud Apps team. Welcome, Itai.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
And my name is Frans Arendorp, and I'm co-hosted by Pujan Gabasi, my well-known co-host. Welcome, Pujan.
Thanks. Good to be back again. And welcome to the show, Itai.
Thank you.
And today, OAuth, attack path analysis, advanced hunting, cloud app security, Defender for Cloud Apps, everything is coming through this episode, probably. So, Itai, to start, you're from the Defender for Cloud Apps team. Maybe a short introduction. Who are you?
Correct. So I'm a product manager within the Defender for Cloud App security team. My expertise is mainly focused around exposure management and pre-breach scenario, and also used to be discovery shadow IT, which evolved to that. But I'm also fluent with our entire product, so we'll have a good discussion today.
Yeah, and to start from the beginning, a few weeks ago we had a meeting where there was a request to do some extra stuff to the public, so to say. So why is it important to make the story of Defender for Cloud Apps to a broader world, so to say, because we all know the solutions already, but we need to move forward on that. The original goal for Defender for Cloud Apps as a CASB solution, what was that? That's years ago. I used that quite a long, probably already, but where was it started?
Yeah, so CASB used to be focused on those gaps in visibility of which SaaS applications are used in the environment. Organizations were afraid of the unknown. They weren't sure which SaaS applications are being used in their environment. So these were the main use cases of CASB, together with some concerns around DLP and maybe slightly threat protection, some anomaly detections and things like this, but very basic. And then this evolved into the area of SaaS security, which is quite more than that. On top of that, we added a few other things to address some other concerns.
And focusing on that, Itai, why isn't Microsoft moving? Maybe you can explain as well. Why are we changing from a traditional CASB models towards a broader SaaS security approaches?
So I wouldn't say we are moving. We are just adding on top of the traditional CASB scenarios. We're just adding more capabilities because we understand the threat landscape of SaaS security is evolving and the organizations have slightly different needs. So it starts with... It started with discovery shadow IT, and I will double click on what it is because maybe I'm fluent with the terminology. So shadow IT is what the IT department is not aware of, and those SaaS applications that you don't even know that are used in your environment. But gradually organizations understand that those applications that you are aware of, actually, those Exchange Online, Microsoft Teams, maybe if you use Salesforce or a Google Workshop and so on, these are actually assets of the organizations. So the most sensitive data of an organization resides within those SaaS applications. So the fact that these SaaS applications are secure by themselves and it's difficult to break into them, this is unrelated, because you don't break into the SaaS application, you just log into them. So you break into the user, or you breach the user and then just log in. That's how you Qantas is like break into the SaaS environment.
I think that's the same terminology we use at the identity as well, right? Hackers log in these days.
Yeah.
It's the same. Nice. You mentioned also the threat landscape is changing, right? So we are logging in instead of doing other stuff in the past. Is that the only change you see in the threat landscape, or are there also other differences within the SaaS and the CAS solution?
So I'll expand on that. So while the traditional CASB used to focus on those visibility gaps, now we understand that in order to prevent breaching into those SaaS applications, you need to be very clearly focused on pre-breach scenarios. How do I configure these SaaS applications properly in order to make it harder for attackers to log in, basically, or break into a user and log in? So the most common example is to set MFA configurations when a user logs in to the business critical SaaS applications, and to enforce SSO and things like SSO through an IDP and things like that. And also more and more post-breach scenarios to trigger alert or even disrupt the attack when we identify that something like this happens. Now, to log in or to break into a SaaS application, there are two possibilities to do that. These are the interaction with SaaS application. It's either to steal a human credential or via an OAuth application, what we call an OAuth application. And I'll slightly expand on that as well. So stolen human credential, I guess it's pretty clear, and maybe Brian, you will be able to expand on that if necessary. I'll focus on the OAuth part. So OAuth is a protocol, but we are so used to it, so we call these application OAuth applications. So basically there is a extremely common way of running the business, which is granting OAuth permission from an application to a different application. And these OAuth application, OAuth permissions are safer than before. So if you wanted two applications to interact with each other, you could grant an application full access into the other application. So now the OAuth 2.0 protocol is governing it and make it slightly less thorough, I would say. So you grant specific OAuth permissions. For example, you can grant Grammarly or any other application that helps you write your emails. You can grant read and write access to your email, or only write access to your email, maybe. So you can grant specific permissions that this third-party OAuth application needs in order to help you run the business. And those OAuth applications introduce a new threat. So again, you want the visibility part of it. So you want to understand which applications has those OAuth permissions into your business critical SaaS applications. Then you would like to apply pre-breach best practices, which is falls under the area of SSPM. So how to configure your environment in order to make it more difficult for attacker to log in with OAuth applications, and also the post-breach of it. So if something suspicious happened within the interaction of OAuth application with your business critical applications, then you should trigger alert or even disrupt the OAuth and disable it on place.
Talking about OAuth apps, I have a lot of questions regarding the broader strategy and that kind of stuff. Maybe we come back to that later. But first, look into the OAuth applications that you have explained. Can you elaborate a little bit on why OAuth has become such an attractive attack vector? Is there a reason?
Yeah, so I want to quote a nice sentence that our researchers love to say. They say, why should I work hard and find a vulnerability when I can just get an OAuth consent? So it's often misunderstood how easy it is to break into your environment with an OAuth consent. I will divide it to three pieces. My answer, why is it such an attractive way to break into an organization? First of all, the consent itself. You get a phishing link. Sometimes it impersonates to... So a very common attack that we see is an application called Microsoft with a Z. So Microsoft is requesting full read-write all permissions into your Exchange Online. It has logo impersonation. It looks very similar to Microsoft. Users don't think too much. Click OK. That's it. You just clicked it. You clicked accept on the consent request. And this malicious application that is owned by an attacker has full access into your Outlook. It can send email. It can read all your email. It can change configuration. It can create inbox forwarding rules. It can disappear within your environment without you even noticing that. So that's just crazy. And it leads me to the second part of it, which is usually OAuth permissions have those permissions into your crown jewels. So it's very common that those OAuth permissions have those read-write all permissions, which are extremely critical. And the third one is that sometimes you grant permission to a legit application. So you want just another application to help you run the business. But then if this application that as a security admin, you don't have any control on it. So this application that you're unaware of got breached, then basically your main SaaS application is also breached. And that's why it's such an attractive attack vector.
And talking about OAuth applications, in the last podcast that we recorded, Puyan, one of the vulnerabilities was in within, I don't know exactly, but GitHub and that kind of OAuth applications that were exposed on that one. So if I have an OAuth application and I put the logo of Adobe or Microsoft on it, an end user probably already know the company that's sending out or is trying to get access, and that's a known company, so I will accept that. So it's in that case, it's easy for an end user. I know it, so I will click on it, and then
exactly. It's so misleading. So you don't need anymore to put your credit card or your password. You don't do anything. You just click a button, and the attacker is there in your environment.
Other specific attack paths or regarding OAuth that attackers use or exploit?
So there are some sophisticated attacks that we see, but honestly, the most common attack is just this extremely simple one. Just logo impersonation, phishing links to many users, the users click on that. So my manager who attended the conference a few days ago, there was an MVP conference, he said this exact story of attack line, and then he said that about five different MVPs came to him after the conference and said, this exact attack happened in my customer's environment. So I guess it happens. That's the most common one.
Absolutely. And we see that more often and often day by day, so almost. Before, Puyan, you have the other question. I want to highlight Another thing, you wrote a blog on this specific thing, Itai, and I will probably add the link of that blog in the description of this episode. What was that blog about? What did you write? That was on OAuth Threads, but maybe you can elaborate a little bit on that.
Sure. So yes, in Microsoft Secure, which is coming in a few days, so I guess I can already provide a spoiler. We plan to announce a few exciting features that are related to OAuth protection. So one of them is related to attack path within the exposure management platform. The other one is related to application inventory that now includes all the OAuth interaction and the OAuth inventory, basically. And the last one is OAuth capabilities within Advanced Hunting. And I guess you want me to slightly dive deeper into each one of these capabilities.
Yeah, let's start awesome. with the attack path analysis. In my opinion, the one that highlights the visibility and understanding what happens for a customer that is using Defender for Cloud Apps.
Right. So this is a pretty exciting capabilities that we work on for a while. So what we've done here is we have predefined a set of crown jewels, let's say, that the organization wish that if an attacker get a hold of this organization, the organization is in real trouble. Those OAuth applications with critical permissions, such as the directory, read, write, all, and things that can do real damage to your SaaS environment. So we have predefined these set of permissions as critical. And then there is an algorithm behind the scene that searches for ways that attacker could laterally move within an organization and get into these critical assets. So assuming there is a vulnerable device that is exposed to the internet. So that's a very easy entry to an organization. And then this device happens to have the credentials of a specific user. And then this user is the owner of this OAuth application with high privileges. Then we present such attack path that an attacker could easily break into the organization and continue forward to these crown jewels. So this is the concept of attack path. And is this blog, we provide a user guide of how to use it and so on.
Nice.
Amazing. Will this be immediately available, Itai? When can customers or people expect this?
Yes, so it's rolling out at the moment, and rollout should finalize by MS Secure Conference, which is the 9th of April.
Amazing.
Yeah, and the recording...
Public preview, sorry.
And the recording will be available from that date onwards. So when Microsoft Secure is there, that was on April 9th?
Yes, yeah. Good timing.
And probably on that day or the day after this episode is available. So the blog is online. The stuff is presented at Microsoft Secure, so everyone knows or could know what it is. The next question, Bojan, is probably one of in your area, isn't it?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, when it comes on logging and searching.
Sorry?
And hunting. Right. So one of the topics you also mentioned is about the advanced hunting possibilities that we have now on the OAuth threads. How and where can our security teams leverage these capabilities? Where can they find this information?
So we have onboarded a new, two things. First of all the data that is available in the attack path and the attack surface map, which maps these connections between the users to the OAuth apps and the service principles and the permissions and everything. So these are tables that are available in the advanced hunting. And also we have lately onboarded a new table, which is basically our OWASP inventory table. Mm-hmm. And there it can be found. Yes.
And is it going to be in the Defender XDR portal for our listeners, right? Or is it going to be available in Sentinel as well? Let you know.
So it's available in Advanced Hunting. If I'm not mistaken, it's also available in Sentinel, but I am not quite fluent with that. I believe so. Everything that is available in Advanced Hunting is easily exploitable with APIs.
Yeah.
And honestly, customers love this Advanced Hunting experience. They get to use this experience, and often we see them utilizing the Advanced Hunting, which was originally developed for post-breach protection. We see them utilize it for exposure hunting. So now you can, for example, filter all the OWASP applications that were not used for the last 90 days and are highly and have high permissions, and maybe by an unverified publishers and things like this. You can do all these joins at table. And don't get me with this specific scenario, because I'm not sure whether everything I just said is fully supported, but the idea is that everything that is available, all the data that we have in the inventory can be found in Advanced Hunting and can be easily searched and so on.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think this is going to be a huge add-on, because currently correlating truth that in Entra is pretty hard. You can get the information out there, but it's not really fast. And I think I can say maybe in the Dutch market, I can talk about it globally. Maybe you can see. But in Netherlands, we see a lot of attention going awards towards the OAuth and application registration. I mean, the last years, it grew exponentially with customers. I mean, even last week, we were in a session in France, and somebody said, yeah, I have like 40,000. And we're like, what?
Yeah, definitely. We see more. We see way more.
Yeah, so it's
a large organization.
Yeah, I think it's what was service accounts in the domain control area in the on-prem world. Those became suddenly a cloud, and then they were accessible from the whole world instead of your data center. But talking on that, I think the last couple of years when organizations started adopting OAuth permission and consent management around that, what is the most common mistakes that you see that organizations make? And what is, in your opinion, a good way to prevent those at this moment with these new capabilities?
So I'll start with what you said, that you said for years we see them adding those OAuth applications. So we see some organizations that have those high privilege OAuth applications that somebody consented, I don't know, years ago, and are just there dormant. And if someone gets a hold of them, it's problematic, as you can imagine. And more than that, it's not helping the productivity of the organization, because nobody used them. So first, clean them all. But in general, so this was just a side note, because you raised the you started with the ears that people keep adding those OAuth applications. But the best thing you can do to prevent that is first deploy App Governance, which is our solution to protect those OAuth applications. And that, and just by doing that, just by clicking this button, you get those nice capabilities. And maybe you should also onboard the Office Connect, or I'm not sure, but then you get this disrupt mechanism that we suggest, which is if we identify that an attack is ongoing, we automatic, and we have a very high certainty that the attack is happening in your environment, we automatically or autonomously disable the OAuth application. So just by enabling it and doing nothing, this magic can happen. But the general suggestion is to get visibility into which OAuth applications are used in your environment and have access to those business critical applications that you wish to keep safe, and just stay green. So try to set those procedures in order to stay green. For example, search for all those high privilege dormant applications and try to maintain them and things like that. On top of that, we have lately introduced the SaaS initiative, which is our solution for classic posture management, which include all those checkboxes and classic configurations that you should enable in your environment. So we have a metric which measures how good you're doing compared to your app-to-app interaction. So there are a few recommendations under there, such as make sure you enable the admin consent workflow within Entra ID. So things like that that are just best practices to keep in place. So another, sorry for sidetracking, but another funny thing about OAuth is that every user can grant those OAuth consent. Nobody gives the, nobody let you just come with your own computer and log into the organization, right? But with those OAuth permissions, unless the security admin or the Entra admin or your IDP admin or someone else manages it, then just everyone can approve whatever they want. So put those minimal posture configurations in place to prevent that. And lastly, after all those basic things are in place, then look for attack path involving OAuth applications and see how an attacker could exploit those OAuth applications fairly easily and get to the crown jewels.
I'm at the beginning of talking about OAuth, you mentioned exposure management. Exposure management, we hear that quite a lot today because in Defender for Cloud, in Defender XDR, it's everywhere, so to say. It's a key concept in modern security strategies. So how does Defender for Cloud Apps contribute to a broader exposure management approach, so to say? And how can customers use it?
Okay, so first of all, we gradually understand the importance of prevention rather than only focus on post-breach, let's say. So the pre-breach is extremely important and we gradually understand it more and more. If I use a house analogy, you wouldn't leave your house without locking the door and then just call the police if someone break into your house, right? You would lock the door just in case. So same here, just put the right exposure management tools to reduce the exposure. So the idea of exposure management are just, you don't lock the window, you don't lock your door, you leave everything open. It doesn't mean that someone will break into the house. It's just very easy exposure points. So try to reduce the exposure in your environment. And then we have all those like slightly more sophisticated tools such as attack path that we keep onboarding to with SaaS capabilities. And I guess the entire like vision for SaaS within exposure management and in general for exposure management is same as XDR in post-breach. So everything is added to XDR directly at the moment. We don't generate SaaS alerts just for the SaaS users. We automatically put it within the XDR. Same here with exposure management. All those recommendations and everything, the attack path and all those capabilities live in an ecosystem, in the pre-breach ecosystem. And that's the vision going forward, to just improve it more and more.
Yeah. And Ita, you mentioned some of the capabilities when it comes earlier as well, when it comes to exposure management, how organization can adapt it. But from the other side, exposure management, it's getting big. It shows a lot. And I'm a little bit afraid once this is launched and introduced, all those hidden OAuth permissions will pop up. So maybe it will overblow the organization as well. So what do you think when we focus on those exposures is going to be the biggest points that organizations are going to find? Or maybe what, if it comes, I mean, you mentioned misconfiguration or too much permissions. Which ones should be the ones to focus on first, maybe, to prevent or to fix the environment?
So within our OAuth application inventory, we have added a new capability called Actions. We call it Action Center, which are predefined filters that we recommend focus on. So an example is those high privilege OAuth applications or those unused OAuth applications. So things like this to start with. And also, as you said, sometimes there will be thousands or more of attack paths. So for that, the exposure management platform have the concept of choke points. They point into specific assets that are involved in so many attack paths. You don't necessarily need to disable this OAuth application if it involved in so many attack paths or the device or things like this, but it helps you prioritize. So keep those follow list list privilege guidelines on those choke points in order to significantly reduce the exposure if those choke points are involved in so many attack paths. So these are just prioritization tools, but unfortunately you will always have exposure points. So you should just, as I said before, put your try to stick to your standards and just always stay green with the threats of OAuth and keep track on it.
I think that's a great feedback for the listeners. So we see Frans is back. We lost him for a second or two. Good that you are back.
Hopefully that will fit into the recording, but yeah, let's continue.
Yeah. And if we start looking ahead to the future, once this is launched and also the whole landscape changing, the whole SaaS security is evolving, of course. How do you see that fit in with the whole strategy of Microsoft building around that?
So I hope I got the question right, but in general, I would suggest to follow an holistic approach to safeguard your environment. So start with discovery, visibility, understand all everything that happens in your environment and all the interactions and so on. Apply those pre-breach and post-breach recommendations and try to reduce the exposure as much as possible. And then leave the rest to the SOC team to chase after the alerts and maybe hope that the disrupt will stop the attack faster. But that's did I get it correctly?
Definitely. I was curious about how this fits into the whole wider exposure management, but that's perfectly perfect for now. Frans, do you have any questions for Itai?
Yeah, maybe not anymore on exposure management, because the importance of exposure management is really there. And moving from a post to pre-breach, I think that is one of the key areas that we're talking about. If we go back on the first few things that we have mentioned in this recording, SaaS security, Microsoft's broader security strategy with Defender XDR, Entra, and all the other stuff that is there to protect your identity, your applications, the things that we are using normally day to day. How does SaaS security fits into that strategy, Itai? Is that something you can elaborate a little bit on?
I'll try to share my perspective on that, but I will after that forward this question back to you, and I want to hear your thoughts. As far as I see it, same as we used to have those isolated alerts. So assuming someone suddenly downloads 2 gigabytes from OneDrive, which is an anomaly behavior, we triggered an alert for that. But now when this information is combined with, okay, this user tried to log in 20 times and failed, and the device that belongs to this user also ran some too many scripts on the computer and something is suspicious over there. And the combination of all of these alerts together are propagated into an incident, and then we have way higher SNR, way higher understanding that a real attack happens. So we would like to integrate all of the rest of the experiences, specifically in the pre-breach area as well, but everything should work as one ecosystem, and that's how I see the things my opinion. We're moving more and more to that direction, and we are working hard to make it perfect, that all the signals will rhyme together.
Yeah, and I think what I see at customers is that Defender for Cloud Apps is a bit underestimated within the whole Defender ecosystem. When customers are using E5 security capabilities, the first thing that they do is Defender for Endpoint, enable it, Defender for Office, enable it, and then if they have an on-prem identity, probably Defender for Identity. But Defender for Cloud Apps was way too long, and I think in the last year there is a lot of enhancement done within the product. So customers need to enable Defender for Cloud Apps and need to advise them to use all the capabilities that it has. What are the latest, to finish up probably a bit with, what are the latest security capabilities within Defender for Cloud Apps that I definitely need to use and where you have some reflection on?
Yeah, so just before I answer that, I want to double click on what you said. So it's true, we also see in Gartner reports and things like that SaaS is often overlooked. And so customer thinks, okay, like Salesforce is probably a secured application. Why do I need Microsoft Defender for Cloud Apps?
Yeah.
So as I explained throughout this entire call, the attacker is not going to breach into Salesforce. That's not likely what's going to happen. They're going to breach and log in into Salesforce from an admin account or something like that. And that's what you should be careful of, or from OAuth applications. And regarding the latest features that we have onboarded lately, and that, so it's all focused around, mainly focused around OAuth application, which is the growing attacks that we see. And we also focus on a growing concern that we see, that is Gen AI. And there is slight difference between that. So OAuth attacks, we actually see them a lot. But Gen AI, we see some, but there is just huge concern about it. And it's obvious why. So that's the area of investment. We have lately added to our discovery catalog, I think more than 1,000 Gen AI applications that our customers can discover if someone is using them in the organization, can decide how to, whether to block them or things like that. And with OAuth, we have added so many features that were discussed during this podcast.
Yeah, and maybe on Gen AI and all the AI stuff, we need to probably do another recording, because the importance and the awareness on that topic can be erased. And I know within Defender for Cloud Apps, within the discovery, a lot of applications has been added. We can get that visibility, but that's probably something for next time. Probably we can do that in sort of a series or kind of like that to deep out the Defender for Cloud Apps capabilities a bit. So I'd like to invite you for that. Maybe
that's,
we can
the Gen AI version.
Yeah. We need to extend a new podcast on not only security, but security and AI. There will be probably a new one that will be launched in that. No. Let's do that now. We're talking security. And with that, I think we have touched everything what we want to in this recording. The transition from CASB to SaaS security, important. to make it a more broader than only discovery that we have done in the past. It's a bit, maybe that's not all, but that's what I see a customer, so to say. We have the OAuth applications, really important. Attacks are coming through and going on and on. And you need to protect yourself from OAuth applications. That is what Itai was telling us. Exposure management from post-breach to pre-breach to see what's happening in your environment. Real important to use these kind of capabilities within Defender for XDR, especially Defender for Cloud Apps. Anything to add, Itai, on that?
No, I think you covered it all.
And I think I had a fun question, but it's more not directly into what is it, technical, whatever, but not Defender for Cloud Apps. If you are not working in security and IT, what kind of job you are probably doing?
Well, he already told it before the recording.
I don't know if a job, but I would be surfing in the ocean. So today I started, before we started recording, I told you that my eyes are a bit red today because the waves were pumping this morning. So that's what I would be doing, definitely. Surfing 3 hours a day, at least. And the rest of my time, I used to play professional water polo for a good portion of my life. So probably some of that, I'm still doing that. I have lots of hobbies, but honestly, I'll enjoy walking, maybe just a little bit less, more surfing and less security. So just the balance, I would say.
Yeah, but if you're talking on sport, water polo, whatever, that's also on security, but you need to secure your goal to protect the others to score goals on that. So probably there are some similarities on that. But many thanks for joining us, Itai, on this recording.
Yeah, it was amazing. Thank you.
And thanks, Puyan, for co-hosting, helping me with the questions, because it's very hard if your camera falls out and you don't have access to the conversation anymore. It's not quite good, but yeah, we managed it to the end. So thanks for that. I hope this episode has inspired you as a listener to rethink how you secure your SaaS environment and the importance of moving towards an integrated, modern, and proactive SaaS security strategy, because your OAuth applications, they are definitely in your environment. They need to be protected, and all the SaaS applications as well. So if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to the Talking Security Podcast and share it within your network. And as always, if you have questions, feedback, or topics you would like us to cover, let us know. Thank you for listening. Stay secure. Until next time on Talking Security. Bye-bye.